I would like to welcome Dr. T. Colin Campbell. Dr. Campbell, are you with me?
Sure am. Thank you.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
It's good to talk to you again. You're one of my heroes.
Oh, thank you.
So, how are you handling all of the excitement that's going on over your film?
Oh, it's just a lot of fun. I'm really happy to see that there are more and more people getting interested in this idea, and the film has played a major role in causing this to happen.
You know, you won't remember this, but the first time I met you, it was in 1996. I had come back from living in France, and I wanted to get more involved in the veg community, and a bunch of us drove up to Cornell, and you were having a meeting with Jay Dinshaw and Freya Dinshaw and a number of other people. I'm not exactly sure what we were talking about, and there weren't many people there, but remembering that, I just am so impressed with how long you have been on this path, and you've been involved in so many major events and big projects as well as the little ones, and you just support them all with a great amount of integrity, and you're just an amazing individual.
Well, thank you so much. I like science. That's what it's all about. It's a lot of fun.
So, you've done a great amount of work. I invite people to go to your website, tcolincampbell.org, and also thechinastudy.com. One of the things I was just talking about with Lee and Brian is the family, and you have your lovely wife, Karen, and your son, Thomas, and you all seem to be together on the same path. I mean, they've been a part of this whole plant-based journey. Has it always been this way? Have they always been with you?
I mean, obviously, our family has been a close family for many, many years, but we really got into eating this way starting in the late 70s, early 80s. Sort of finished up the task, I guess, along around the late 80s, maybe 1990, when we went, you know, the whole way. We actually have five grown children, five grandchildren, another one on the way, and spouses, and actually we're all 100%. I mean, 100% in the sense that all of us really do this.
Wow.
So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, that certainly helps. I know a lot of people struggle because they can't get their family members on board. And you're really a great model.
Well, thank you. I mean, you know, of course, I had the advantage, too, of being in the lab and being in the scientific community and really seeing it and talking about it. Maybe sometimes my family are getting tired of me talking about it. I don't know. but in any case, you know, it was impressive. And so as we all learned, and we learned it kind of together in a way.
Now, I want to know, why aren't you just sitting back and taking it easy now? You just keep at it. You keep putting this message out there. You just are nonstop working on and on.
Well, I don't feel like sitting back and just resting, I guess. I don't feel like saying my time is up. I really want to, you know, continue working at it, especially when, you know, there's so many people now, really key people that I'm getting an opportunity to visit with and meet, and who are, you know, getting excited about it. And I think there's nothing more gratifying than meeting people who choose to try this.
Yeah, it's magical.
Not really knowing what to expect, I think, in a lot of cases. And they turn around and they get these remarkable results. And that is gratifying when you see people getting well.
Right.
Nothing better.
We really live in this crazy sci-fi kind of world, don't we?
That's right.
The solution is so simple, and so many people just are resisting, and it must be frustrating. But on the other hand, those that go, and you have so many cases on your website, you've got all kinds of information and people's stories talking about how the plant-based diet has helped them. It's a beautiful story.
Well, thank you.
So we were talking a little bit about Bill Clinton before, and that must have felt very gratifying that he was influenced by your work.
Yeah, and it surely was. I mean, we could hardly get a better voice than that, I think. And I've since referred to him one of the greatest scientists that's come along in the last two or three centuries.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kidding, but in any case, I mean, he really has done probably, we honor him as a sort of honorary scientist these days.
Well, he's smart. I don't think anyone questions that he's smart, and I just wonder why he didn't get this information sooner.
Well, it's interesting you should ask that question, because he first heard about it, at least for me, maybe 3 years before, or so, 3 or 4 years before, when a mutual friend of ours, the former governor of North Carolina, Jim Hunt, we were together on a board, and Jim had asked me for a couple copies of the book and get them autographed, and he was going to give them to President Clinton. And he did, and I got a handwritten note back from him. But then I wasn't sure how much he had actually read it, because I hadn't personally met him except one occasion when I didn't talk about that. But in any case, he had it, and I heard him make comments a couple of times on the TV, referring to some specific facts. I said to myself, I said, you know, that's right in our book. I'm wondering if he's read it. That went on for, as I say, 2 or 3 years, and finally then I got word that he took it seriously. I guess his daughter really played a role in that, too.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Okay, so did you have fun being on Dr. Oz again?
Yes, that was certainly fun to join my good friend, Dr. Esselstyn, and Dr. Bernard, and Lee came along. That was great to be interviewed as well, and Rip, yeah, the whole several of them. That was great fun.
I want to talk a little bit about your book, The China Study, because it's a phenomenal work, and what I enjoyed most about it was all of the work you've done with the government, sitting on panels and being surprised again and again how people were making the wrong decisions, kind of in support of their corporations.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that activity was extraordinarily educational for me, because I could see, you know, over a period of 20-plus years where science gets interpreted, if you will, into public information, public policy. And I was chagrined, I must admit, to see how just a turn of the words and adjectives and things like that, and setting the numbers a little bit differently to reflect, you know, a particular point of view, really could have major effect in terms of public information. And I really found it not fun. That part of it was distressing, I think, that we just couldn't speak out.
Do you think they understood the science, or did they not want to understand the science?
Combination of things. I mean, the panels that I was sitting on obviously included a variety of scientists, some of whom really hadn't worked in the area I had worked in that much. So I think on their part, they thought they were saying the right thing and being reasonably conservative in saying it. And that's one of the features of a panel like this. If you get 10, 15 people on a panel, oftentimes the report comes out sort of meeting the least common denominator.
Mm-hmm.
So it tends to be quite conservative, and people are not unwilling to go beyond what they think is really true. So there's just that sort of that kind of philosophy that exists on these panels. But then there were people, too, that I knew who, quite frankly, I knew who were associated with the industry and getting paid for it, and that's where their bread and butter seemed to be. And so they would say things that clearly reflected their personal biases, or I should say maybe their professional biases. So it was a combination of things. And the other thing that I'm writing a second book now that I'm trying to explore this idea a bit, we all live within this cocoon, this paradigm, you know, of Western thought about health and about the role of food in health. And it's a paradigm that has been cultivated for decades, even more than a century. And it's gotten to a point now where, you know, most of the people in the population sort of, in a sense, know something, when in fact they really don't.
Right.
But, you know, and so we go around saying these like kind of things to each other. And I mean, I was part of the game, too, growing up. And so some of the things that we ran across in the laboratory were quite shocking to me. I mean, I said, you know, what's going on here? Let's explore this further.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of trying to cut through the borders or go beyond the borders of what we tend to think is difficult at times.
Yeah, you have to commend yourself to have been open to the information that you found, because as you're saying, there's actually been studies talking about scientists how even though they think they're designing their experiments objectively, there's something underneath that puts a subjective slant on it, no matter
that
how.
There surely is. I mean, we like to think that science is objective, and I think the vast majority of them try to be so, but they're still encumbered.
Yeah,
and this, you know, with the boundaries with this environment, invisible boundaries, and they're kind of stuck there. I owe a lot of this to my father. I have to say, he's since passed away many years ago, but he only had 2 years of education actually, and I was the first to go to college. And he was anxious for me and my brothers to go to school. And he always used to say, he was a very honest man, had a great reputation in his farming community. He used to say, you know, always tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what.
Mm-hmm.
I was close to him. I was the oldest. And sometimes I wondered about his advice, you know, because you were telling the truth as you saw it, so it get you in trouble.
Get you in trouble. Yeah, yep. And you have gotten in trouble a few times.
Yeah, it's. But anyhow, that's obviously that's the only way to live, in my view. Is just.
That's right. Be true.
Yep.
Well, we love you for that and all the work that you've done and all the people that you have definitely helped. So where do you see us going as a society? Do you I think there's a change happening. Is it going to happen soon enough? Our healthcare costs are so tremendous.
I think actually things are going to happen faster than what we realize.
Mm-hmm.
I really do, for two or three different reasons. You just mentioned one, and that is the great pressures that we now feel as a society. You know, our healthcare system is in the rut.
Yep.
I mean, we've got to make changes, and a lot of people know that. It'll break the bank. There's no question about that. So that kind of pressure exists, and coming from people who never would have thought about food in this way, but they're certainly interested. And I sense that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people.
I don't read about it, but I'm glad you sense it.
I really do, and I've given, more than 400 lectures, I'm sure, since the book came out. And I speak mostly now to medical conferences and medical schools, and so I'm really gratified to see the professionals beginning to, you know, sort of step up and say, wait, what is this you're talking about kind of thing?
Wow.
And that's kind of fun. So I think there's things are changing because of the pressures that exist, but I'll say there's a second reason, and that is that the technology we have today to communicate is extraordinary, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And with the network of social media technologies and other kinds of communication that we have at our fingertips, word spreads about things very fast.
Yeah, well, we're definitely seeing that with the political climate in the Middle East. And
Absolutely.
It's like wildfire.
Well, let's make our own revolution here in this country in an area of health.
Woo-hoo!
You know, I mean, that's that, and I know this is all possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because all people need to do is to try it, see what happens.
Yeah, the amazing thing is there's really no cost, individual cost involved. It's just about changing what you're eating, and
right.
it doesn't really require anything except one's own personal determination.
That's right, absolutely.
Well, that's really inspiring. Okay, we have things to look forward to.
Well, we have, I should say, partly answer your question, we have some, my sons and I, and
mm-hmm.
our daughter, too. We have some ideas that we're working on now, some very specific ideas that I'm anxious to sort of flesh out and talk about, you know, maybe in the next few months or so.
Okay. When will we hear about that on your website, maybe, when we come
up? We'll get around to doing it that way, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the time, first off, but, I mean, we have some clear things in mind. I just wanted to leave that, and I don't... We're not floundering, I guess you used to say.
Mm-hmm.
We do have some very crystallized ideas, I think.
Okay, well, that's exciting. I'm glad to hear that there are things on the horizon to look forward to, and I know that if it's coming from you, it's going to be good.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, well, do you have any other words to share on the film, Forks Over Knives, before I let you go?
No, just to say something positive, I really sincerely mean that, because I think my friends Brian Wendell and Lee Fulkerson and John Corey and company, Allison Boone, that was the crew.
Mm-hmm.
They hadn't done this kind of thing. Well, Lee Fulkerson certainly did. He's a real pro, and John Curry, Corey had been in the business, but Brian pulled us all together. And that, I mean, they've just done a fantastic job. I can't compliment them enough.
Okay, well, we're really glad they made the film. We need more and more and more films like this. People need to be flooded with this information because, unfortunately, people need to hear this information over and over before they get it.
Can I mention one thing?
Absolutely.
A second. And on our foundation, we have a foundation. It's just for the purposes of education at the present time, and we have an online course on there that started out with lectures I had been giving at Cornell in a course, and then later was joined by some other people we got involved too. That course is online, and we're offering it, the foundation is offering it jointly with the company owned by Cornell University who does online courses, eCornell, our foundation and that arm of Cornell. We put on this course, and it's been up now for maybe 2.5 years. It's just fantastic. And we just got, the way it's really flying off the handle, we just got accreditation for 19 continuing medical education credits for doctors. So doctors who don't get trained in this area are now taking it and are starting to really come. I'm not sure how we're going to keep up with it. But
wow, that's great news. That's exciting. Great.
It's a very exciting opportunity.
Okay. Well, tcolincampbell.org, that's the website. Go
right
there and learn. Thank you, Dr. Campbell.
I appreciate it.
And I look forward to speaking to you again soon. Bye.
Thank you much.